There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
That's what there's no feel to.
Yeah.
For the GOP. That's why so many of them have just sold their principles, done everything they can to kneel before the Trump Lord.
Right.
And kneel before Zod.
Follow his orders and wishes, and it's politically it's all for naught. These people still, the hardcore Trump base still hates them.
Right.
You know, despite everything. Like Ted Cruz, could you imagine? How's that guy sleep at night? You know, the president makes fun of his wife.
I don't know if you could just say the Trump base, though. I think it's the even extreme of the Trump fans is they're doing that. The super extreme.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
The hardcore base.
Because yeah. We got a lot of Trump supporters here locally
yeah.
that voted for Trump even this last time. Even for whatever he did that you may not like or dislike, you know, they voted for him again. I think that they probably don't hate the man even if they do believe he insurrected, he caused the insurrection or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
He incited it. That's the words I'm looking for.
There's plenty of Trump fans that are just like, yeah, screw it.
Yeah.
This is fun to watch.
America.
That's why they voted for him. He's right. A Molotov cocktail thrown at the federal government.
Yep. Right.
Very true.
But is he?
No.
They thought he was.
Yeah.
They thought he was going
to be. They still
think
I think he is. Like, as they just throw shade on it. Like,
did I see a promotional tour thing he did where he finished the wall that he promised?
Did he finish that?
Yeah. Mm. I think I saw it yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
I saw a picture of him. He's like by himself, kind of like his head down, back to the camera, walking along the wall, just by himself. Just looked very lonely and sad.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't read the story. But it was something like Trump checks out the wall for one last time.
Right. Well, then of course these are his words, and I was just scanning the television when it came across. So I don't know exactly what happened. But he said the mileage or footage of wall he promised in his election thing he gave.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some of it's chain link fence that's like right, 3 feet tall, but it's there. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a long way, man. That's a long wall.
It's a lot of yeah.
That's
yeah.
A lot of wall. A
lot of geography to cover.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I doubt that's true. I think a lot of the easements and stuff are still like wrapped up in court, and there's a lot of because there's a lot of private property that this wall was supposed to go along, and property belonging to a lot of people who aren't big Trump fans.
Right. The big thing I know was like there needs to be property. Like property along it.
Well, absolutely, but I mean, there's like there's massive sections. Like I don't know how long between the border that you can't even come up to on the before you get to the fence.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Now, well, some of those areas.
The pre-border.
There's definitely places that are like your ranch property, Mexico.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like, there's no buffer between there. Nice. There's ones that are even golf courses.
Mm, right.
You'd have to build straight through the golf course if you were to follow the border exactly.
Wow.
So there's parts where it's not America or Mexico. It's just privately owned property that kind of, like, is wedged between both that will not be sold you know to anybody. Plus a lot of the big things on the border, like a lot of the places that weren't covered up, needed roads built out to it, and you know, roads good enough to support construction trucks and equipment and stuff like that, and a lot of that just wasn't done.
Right.
So that's why it's chain link fence in a lot of places, not 20 feet walls.
Yeah.
The wall just got 30 feet higher.
Right.
Vicente Fox.
Yeah. Vicente Fox.
He's not anywhere. He's not anyone anymore. Don't worry about him.
Right. Yeah. That was like 20 years ago, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Cruz, I mean, he led this charge that even after the riot last week, he led this charge to not certify some state's election results. He has had his wife made fun of. He has been heckled every turn by Trump supporters, and he's still trying his best to prove that he's Trump's man. As soon as Trump's out of there, nobody's gonna care for Cruz. Yeah. Everybody hates the guy. I have to imagine he's like one of the hatest guys in the country right now.
Right.
Even by the folks that he's sold his principles to help.
Right. Do you remember that picture of him at dinner with Trump, like right after the election? It was more like a shake hands and like, we'll get you in somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's just a really bad looking picture. Like, Ted Cruz look like a dog.
Yeah.
You know.
He grew this beard because he thinks he looks like cool with it now. Dude, you're still the same cuck as ever. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I could have my wife made fun of and my position attacked and, you know, just generally, you know, I'm certain at one point Trump was like, well, mine's bigger than Ted's. Don't worry about that. You know, all that stuff. His wife is ugly. And then Ted just takes it like just a beaten mule.
Yeah.
You think he's one of those guys that's going to, like, explode on him one day or something?
You should have paid attention to me!
Yeah. I think Cruz is really just trying to position himself for a 2024 presidential race.
There's so? No way.
He's going to just think embarrass so.
Although
himself
he was
even
the,
more.
He was the second nominee, or he was the second candidate. Like, it was close.
Yeah, I guess he was up
or
there.
I don't know if it was close.
It was like the
was
definitely
second.
The tripartite was like, was Rubio, Cruz, and then I guess Trump.
Right.
Maybe Jeb Bush was kind of in there. For a little bit.
Yeah. Was he?
Sure. He was gone before the
he had the biggest like name recognition,
right.
I think. And some of the most establishment backing, which up until 2016 would have got you the election.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. What about old good old ex-governor Mike Huckabee?
Not a chance.
No way, headlines, right? He's coming back to Arkansas. Yippee.
To do what? Just live here?
The best thing that happened came out of his run for president is he had to stop his radio show.
Oh, yeah?
Did he have a rough one here?
Oh, God. Worst radio show ever, dude. It was like
the Mike Huckabee show.
It replaced, and a lot of people area covered it around here for a little while because, of course, we covered it until it was gone because it was Mike Huckabee and we're, you know, Arkansas radio. But,
I don't need that slime on these airwaves.
Oh, yeah. Because you have to have your voice. You can't have your recognizable voice on any airwaves besides the commercials when you're running for that elected office. Mm. He had to remove himself from the radio show.
Right. Be unfair.
Oh, but it was, what was the guy, the rest of the story?
Paul Harvey.
When Paul Harvey died, he slinked in there.
Oh, really?
Yes, oh right behind gosh. On his. He started a show and slinked right in there.
He had like a rock band too, right? Huckabee. Yeah.
What was that called? I wonder.
Schmuckabee. Schmuckabee.
No, I'd never. I never knew he was a like a right wing radio jock. Man, just talk radio.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like, all right, no, I'm going to play my favorite funk.
I don't know
hour.
If it was a radio show, but he had like a 60 or 90-minute or two-minute segment once a week or once a something that we used to download a long time ago.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
Well, up to 2015.
Yeah. There's talk that his daughter, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she's might be running for governor the next election cycle.
Here?
Can't be.
Yeah, there's some hints out there. She's throwing it around.
Issa got reelected, so he's not running. He can't run again. Well, I mean, you know.
Maybe it was her book. I forget whatever. Self-serving piece of crap.
God, Grits, and Guns.
Yeah, something like that.
God,
yeah.
Grits, and Guns.
Yeah, I think so. No, I think that might have been Sarah Palin.
Similar, yet different.
Similar, yet stupider. Well, here we are. Third episode here of the Regrettable Podcast.
Wow, third episode already.
Yeah. It's the third.
Three. Yeah.
That's always the charm, right? So they say. So we're here, you know, we're going to get into some more, a little bit more, things have stewed a little bit over the past week. The last week we touched upon, you know, the siege, made very light of it, and turned out we didn't say anything I had to cut out.
Yeah,
you know? I heard that.
But somebody did die, or a few people did die.
Right,
so
right.
We'll talk about that a little bit, but we want to get back into, I think, massage a little bit more now that it's, you know, stewed a little bit,
sure.
You know, brewed and stewed.
Brewed and stewed.
Yeah, like a good potato.
That's fun.
You got a relatively moderate death toll out of it for a quote-unquote insurrection, a siege of the Capitol.
Yeah, a lot less than the other sieges in history, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you had that woman, Ashley Babbitt, who was killed by, it was Capitol officer, maybe it was Secret Service. It was a guy wearing a suit with black gloves and a Glock pistol.
Yeah.
She didn't do what he was asking her to, so
don't come through the window or something along those lines.
Yeah. Yep. She crawled
through
the window, like,
the
a
window
little,
and
like a goblin and got
caught one to the face, right?
To the throat.
To the throat. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you had a Capitol police officer who was injured by some protesters, went back to like his division headquarters or his office, and he died later in a hospital. Wow. Some people have been comparing the two. Look, that was that lady's choice to go to the Capitol. It was her choice to break into it. It was her choice to crawl through a busted window, which on the other side of was a possibly Secret Service agent, some suited law enforcement officer telling her not to.
Right.
She made a very long series of unfortunate decisions. The Capitol police officer who died, he was just doing his job.
Exactly.
He hadn't have been there, he'd got fired.
Exactly.
You know?
And there are some that are going to be fired.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You've already seen some of the head leaderships getting sacked, you know?
Well, I do want to just kind of get through that again real quick.
Yeah.
Third episode.
Okay.
Regrettable. We're going to get into some of that. We're going to get into some more personal stories and whatnot. Of course, hosts, myself, Tyler Massey, Jay Lindley, and Patrick Massey. So we're here now. We can go back. And I had to finish that. It's
what's
one
up,
of those
homie?
Things. Yeah. What's up? Fantastic.
What's up, homie?
Yeah. So I just totally cut off the flow there, I think.
That's all right. It's regrettable.
It's regrettable.
Nice.
But now that we have some time to look at it, though, I think one of the points we hammered on last week was just how ridiculous these folks look. Like, it was honestly, like, the goofiest collection of humanity I've ever seen. Like, a LARPer festival that's gone out of control.
Oh, everybody's got their Halloween costume for next year, right? Or for this year, right? The horned guy with the fur coat.
Right.
I mean, it's literally a Halloween costume already.
Yeah. He was basically William Wallace.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
freedom!
Right. Yes, that is true.
Yeah. It reminded me of like a tailgate party where there was too much free Keystone Light or something.
Yeah.
And people just went wild. But
yeah, it was an interesting show of characters for sure.
Yeah.
The one, I'm going to be honest, the one that confused me the most was the guy wearing the Camp Auschwitz sweater?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it just me, or does that kind of cheapen the pro-Trump brand, wearing that sweater to an insurrection?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not unfair of me to say that?
I agree with that statement.
Okay. My advice to that guy is, man, keep it to one conspiracy-fueled insane insurrection at a time.
Well, what's the Camp Auschwitz? Is he for it? Or is he...
Yeah,
he likes the idea of work.
Does it say "Remember us"? You know, I mean, I don't.
No, no, it was like I think I had like a skull and crossbones underneath it. You know,
just seemed very distasteful.
The man just appreciates a good 8 to 8 hour job. Okay, 8 hour day, a good hard day of work.
Yeah,
that's what he likes.
24 hours day of work.
Yeah,
but I'm inclined to give the guy a little benefit of the doubt. Like, looking at the cretin wearing the sweater, I have to assume it was the nicest piece of clothing he owned, the only one that didn't have mustard on it or some other unexplainable stain. But I guess maybe this is a naive question, but where the hell do you get a Camp Auschwitz sweater? Not Walmart, right?
It's like, where do you get Nazi flags?
I guess eBay. There's a lot of that crap on that.
Guys are stitching it together. Like, Mom, you finished my order of Nazi flags yet?
Homemade. Handcrafted Nazi flags.
Maybe not eBay. They may cancel out some of that stuff. But
My idea was it like some dumb Etsy crafter who like took the order and she had no idea what it meant? She
was Auschwitz? Like, oh, that sounds tasty.
Yeah. Camp Auschwitz? Maybe I'll send my kids there next summer. But, I don't know. Maybe there's a clothing manufacturer out there that like specializes in casual totalitarian attire.
What I saw a lot of was that. What the hell was it? 5/11 gear? Is that what it is?
5/11.
It's like TAC. It's
gear.
Yeah.
Tactical gear.
So you got your tactical wipes. Okay. Yeah. So when you know the burritos come out a little too harsh and you're not near a good toilet, you got your TAC wipes for when you're in the bush or whatever. You got your TAC pants that are going to hide a Glock where your penis would be, you know, but you got to fill that out somewhere a little bit. You got the Camp Auschwitz sweater, which is included free on any TAC wear purchase order of over
$20.
Exactly. So that's probably where it comes from. When I first saw 5/11, I saw it on a hat and I was looking, I was like, is that some like, you know, alternative kind of disaster as well? Like, yeah, remember 9/11, but remember 5/11 as well.
May 11th?
I was like, I don't know what that
Cinco
is.
Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah, no, it's just tack wear for, you know, neckbeards. So,
yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of guys look like they're heading to the paintball course or something.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know, the Camp Auschwitz sweater gave me some other ideas. Like, if maybe there is, like, some manufacturer out there specializing in white supremacy clothing or something. Maybe get something for the ladies, like Pol Pot was so hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forget the vaccine. I want Edie Amin.
Oh, no.
Maybe a picture like Stalin and the writing underneath, like, Uncle Joe, pretty good guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't so bad.
Pretty good.
I kind of wanted to look it up to see where in the hell this guy got this sweater from.
I imagine it's, you know how people get Chinese tattoos in Chinese and it says, you know, like,
it
dog,
says butthole.
Dog, wet dog
yeah,
fart.
Exactly.
And
but you mean
California roll.
Right. You know, it means harmony. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's probably the same thing over there. That's, like, yeah, we, you know, contracted some Chinese labor and they, you know, stitched this thing together, not really knowing. Mm. You know, that's probably what happened.
Well, just don't Google it, folks, because I'm afraid what you would see, like, on your targeted advertising or your recommendations on your, you know, you like Camp Auschwitz sweaters? You'll probably like this too.
Yeah. Just a red hat. No, I don't. If looking at him, I don't really want to even talk about the people.
No,
but, you know, no. I'm sick of talking and you know, just making fun of the people. It's been done. We can't trash them any harder than they just trash themselves by just being trashy. Trash.
And that's that the media and a lot of folks maybe on the left need to take a step back for a second.
Yes.
Yeah, step back, kind of look at this. I mean, like, the folks calling it a coup. Like, my opinion, coup usually requires, like, involvement from at least some section of the military. I really doubt, like, the Joint Chiefs of Staff was going to look at this guy wearing a Viking outfit and be like, yeah,
next
leader right there.
And if you are going to call it a coup, it's an attempted coup.
Exactly.
Right. Because a coup ends in the throwing,
overthrowing.
Yeah, like,
usually more than five people die.
Right. Right, exactly. And it's more than, you know, yeah, it definitely wasn't a coup. They're a bunch of jokers, for sure. I just don't, I wish nothing would happen to them, if that's crazy. Maybe, like, take the main people, the real dummies who did some real, but, like, there were so many people there that were just like, okay, I guess we're going in here.
Sure.
Free tour. You know, I watched the Daily Show. They send out their reporter, and he was there. He was there during the Trump speech when I heard... Now I finally heard what everything that was said, and
I was unaware of it when we
on
spoke
the big
last
screen
week
right
on,
there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and Rudy Giuliani saying this is what did he say? It was
a trial by combat.
Trial by combat, like,
which
Giuliani,
he was referencing Game of Thrones. He
right,
says,
right,
funny,
and he was, I guess it is, but or maybe I don't know. Maybe that's just an easy way out.
Yeah.
But Giuliani, you wouldn't survive combat. You couldn't pass dental floss through your aorta, okay? Yeah. You unhealthy garbage. You would not be able to do any type of trial by combat.
Right.
I suggest all these people, my legal suggestion is claim mental incompetency at your trial. You should be able to get away. Just looking at these folks. Like, here's the evidence. Here's a picture of myself there.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm an idiot, okay?
Yeah.
I agree. If you walked through with just a selfie camera, I don't agree they should get nothing.
Yes,
but I agree
a bit
that
of a slap.
It should be more of a slap on the face. But I think they should have what I think is they should have 24, 48, maybe 72 hours behind bars.
Yeah, that's fine. But
that way they know exactly what it really feels like to have their rights taken away from them.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm all for every single one of them getting a punish or something. Just, like, keep sedition off of it.
Yeah,
or treason. I agree.
Like, trespassing, destruction of federal property,
exactly,
all that stuff. I mean, that's what you did. But they weren't seditious,
right?
Or treasonous.
It's
crimes they're usually requires a high bit of intelligence to pull those things off.
Right. I was just going to say, but those that did destroy government property, that's a felony, right?
Yes. Yes. Well,
so,
felony property,
so
or federal property.
Yeah. So they're losing another, you know, the right to vote.
Yeah.
Right to
so
possess a firearm.
Right. Yeah. They're losing other things also.
Yeah,
so maybe not even a big long stint in jail.
True.
Just the fact that this felony is going to stick, or at least until you can pay another lawyer to get it expunged.
Mm. Huh. I'm 100% on board with that.
But yeah, I'm definitely with you guys. No sedition, no treason. These are crimes that carry, like, the death penalty.
Right.
And honestly,
right,
you want
right.
You want to see some ugly things happen in this country? As put a guy up there and in front of a firing squad, or hang him, or lethal injury, whatever.
Buffalo Man.
Yeah, right.
Put Buffalo Man up there and hang his ass
to be a martyr.
Yeah, he's already a martyr. Did y'all hear?
Yeah.
Today, really? he hasn't eaten since Monday, I think, or Wednesday, or whatever.
He's just on a really long meth binge.
Yeah. Well, he's been in jail. When he went to jail, he stopped eating. Monday, I think it was when he went to jail.
Oh, he's detoxing then.
I saw a video of him.
He said he was doing it on purpose. He said it was a hunger strike because he was wrongfully imprisoned. Yeah.
They got ways. Folks down in Guantanamo Bay tried that. Exactly. There's ways to forcefully feed people.
Oh, yeah. It's called rectal infusion.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
At least something that off South Park. But
I saw a video of that guy way before.
Yeah, it was like 6 months in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That guy's
in the middle of the street screaming.
Yeah.
What?
And these guys are the Buffalo guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were interviewing him at some other protest, half a year ago. He's just, straight up, we can make fun of him and whatnot, but he's mentally ill.
Mentally ill.
That takes all the fun out of it, to be honest with
you. Yeah,
yeah. Seriously.
If he didn't have the cape on, he'd have a dirty jacket and he'd be begging for change. Yeah. Instead he has the Buffalo cape and it painted William Wallace's face and a flag that people can get behind, I guess.
Now he's QAnon shaman.
Yes, QAnon shaman. There you go. And then there was a guy at the protest with a pitchfork. And he's it symbolizes
traditional.
And the guy from the Daily Show, he's like traditionally, the symbol of the pitchfork is usually in the hands of the bad guys.
I don't know. I kind of think like a mob, the folks who went after Frankenstein.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, pitchforks. It's just the common rabble.
Yeah, he's like, this looks like a weapon to me. He's like, no, it's a farming tool. He's like, are you farming today? That guy is great. That Jordan Klepper.
Oh, yeah, he is hilarious.
He has a way of dealing with these folks, and he's so likable. I think people
want
to talk to him.
Can't be mad at him.
And that's actually, he's said enough bad things that I'm certain he's gotten death threats from. And to be at that rally where people are storming the Capitol, not long, he's maybe 50 feet away from where people are forcing their way up. And to not get beat up or not be afraid of getting beat up or this and that. I know his cameraman got assaulted. Hmm. Yeah, so.
But he's got a little Trump cred?
No, I don't think he does. I don't know what it is. He's white.
Yeah.
Ah. If that was the black reporter from Daily Show, I guarantee you, I can cut this out. Yeah. I don't want to do any rave stuff, but I do think that he would have gotten hassled.
You ain't got to cut it out because it's true, brother.
Yeah.
I already see that because there's more arrests every day. Mm-hmm. It seems like most of the main people, that idiot who was going to steal the lectern, the House Speaker's lectern, he's waving at the camera, while he's got his hands.
Did he get it?
I don't think so. I saw a picture today where they were wheeling it out from storage for the impeachment trial today, or the impeachment hearing.
Hopefully he's carrying it out. At least one of the Capitol Police was like, give me that.
Yeah.
Get on your way.
One of them do something.
Yeah.
At least. But I already see one of the defenses that's starting to circulate, and we're going to see a lot more as people kind of melt under the pressure, is like, hey, look, President Trump told me to do this, and I'm a good American. I do what my president tells me, unless it's Obama, okay, or a woman, or a Democrat,
or
a gay, or a Catholic, or anybody else I don't like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If your name's Tom, if you wear glasses.
And white Protestant.
Yeah.
Lutheran ain't telling me what to do.
That's right.
That's what was wrong with Huckabee.
Yeah. But
I'd never thought I'd die side by side with a Lutheran. Well, how about dying side by side with a friend?
Sorry, guys. Yeah. Terrible joke. I do want to throw one thing out, because one of the big fallouts from this is that Trump has been locked out of his Twitter account.
Facebook
permanently.
Too, right?
Yeah, Facebook, I think, for the rest of his presidency.
Yeah.
And YouTube's kicked him off for a week or something, and people are saying, well, that's anti-First Amendment. All right, folks, remember that First Amendment, all the amendments, those are things that the government can't do, not private corporations, okay? Actually, it would be infringing on Twitter's First Amendment rights for the government to tell them, no, you can't kick people off your platform for violating your clearly stated rules.
And people who think, what with the misunderstanding about the First Amendment does not protect you from consequences.
Right.
That's why
there's still consequences for certain words.
Yeah,
it'll
absolutely
save you from a firing squad, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe you work for Toyota and you walk around Toyota dealership or a headquarter, and you're like, yeah, Honda's a much better brand. Okay, yeah, you're not going to get killed for it, but they're not going to put you in front of a firing squad, but it will put you in front of the unemployment line.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah. That's right. If freedom of speech was actually like you can say whatever you want with no repercussions, people in retail would go tell every customer to just get out of the store right now. Just leave us alone.
If freedom of speech was the with no repercussions was real in real life settings, there would be no sweet tea memes and videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, know what I mean? First Amendment really is great. And here's why, okay? So you can watch a white boy get slapped up with an iced tea and knocked out.
For saying the bad words.
Yeah. Yep. He's not going to get arrested for saying
right.
that word.
He won't get arrested. Yeah.
But he was.
He will get socked out.
He got something better.
Yeah. Yeah. Will he continue to say it? Yes. Will he continue to say it in a convenience store around other black people?
No. He'll never do it again. Yeah. Maybe he was buzzed enough he won't remember it. Maybe. I don't know.
And he knocked in the head, so he lost a little bit of that memory.
So in that case, he may do it out of stupidity, but it's going to happen to him again if he keeps doing it. Because that was dumb. That was just drunk.
So that's a perfect representation of free speech.
Yeah.
Hey,
exactly.
Hey, invisible guys didn't come into the convenience store and disappear you into the
because
government.
Because you said bad things.
Yeah, because you said you're slapped up with an iced tea. That's what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. I was going to say, although I want to point out, the Twitter, remember I made a statement on the last podcast that I better sell my Twitter stock because Trump got locked out. It dropped tremendously. Yes, please. It dropped tremendously, my friends. You know what I'm saying?
Did
so,
it really?
And I didn't get rid of it. I'm still ahead because I got in it so low. But it
dropped that much.
It can't be permanent. 50 something. No, it won't be.
Okay.
But it was trading in the teens and 20s before Trump, and I could look up the actual facts, but I would say the first year of Trump's office, it gained by 30, it doubled in price.
Sure.
Because everybody was tuning into Trump's tweets.
Some hermit in the Ozark Mountains was getting a computer and internet access so he could get a Twitter account to follow.
Yeah, I feel like maybe before Trump, that was a very snowflakey place, I thought,
good
Twitter.
Point.
And now it still is, I guess. It's just now another side has now glommed on, bringing up Twitter stock a bunch.
Yeah.
Mm. A lot more people using it. So you don't think it'll be permanent, though?
Because
something like this affect...
Long term, yes. 5 years, yes. But it'll slowly make its way back up. And there'll be another president that uses it. Actually, every government, if you think about it, in the past 4 years, every government official has gotten a Twitter account.
Right.
Sure. Every single one.
Right.
Because it is now an official, usable way to announce things.
Absolutely.
I mean, announcing things and this and that, but slapdash opinions. Just seems weird.
It
just
seems weird.
Yeah, and using it for campaigning and stuff like that. I don't know. It seems weird. I'm not saying it shouldn't be allowed or something. It just
It's just off. It's different.
Different and just weird that
I agree.
Oh, you want to follow the president? Get yourself the Twitter account. Imagine saying that 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
A MySpace. Say 12 years ago. Say get you a MySpace account from the president.
President.
I mean, that'd be awesome. He'll be my friend.
That's pretty much what he's now. He's probably got nothing but MySpace to rely on now.
Yeah,
maybe we'll see the stock in that race.
He'll get the Flickr
public
account.
Company, but
he'll get the Flickr account.
Yeah,
he'll post pictures of him eating Pizza Hut with a knife and fork.
That's why folks who are want to defend him and say this is just quashing him. Well, now he won't be able to ever get his message out again. Look, he's the most famous person in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, he's also still president. He has the press corps. He could do a press briefing anytime he wanted, and every media outlet in the world would be there to see it.
Over 100 cameras and microphones will be shoved in his face the moment he wants to announce he's going to lunch. So, Twitter is instantaneous, reaches whatever. He had, 80 million people or something?
Right.
Immediately.
Exactly.
So that is something, but he's not stifled.
you remember the guy that they called that had the shortest stint in the office. He was fired by Trump 3 days after, or three.
Scaramucci?
Scaramucci, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He was on Big Brother.
guy was
mooch.
Awesome.
The mooch. Yes.
The mooch was awesome.
Anthony the mooch Scaramucci.
Yeah. Mooch. So the mooch was on Big Brother. And in Big Brother, they sit there for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, recorded. So you start talking about stuff. Well, one of the things he said was that the president was when he was like, oh, watch this. So do you? And it was, I want to say it was the coffee, the Covfefe tweet.
Oh yeah, the Covfefe.
C O F F E E. Or it was, just, yeah, it, yeah. He misspelled coffee, but it looked, but it was Covfefe, and everybody blew up with the word Covfefe. Hashtag Covfefe. It was this big deal.
Some conspiracy.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But he just tweeted that. And what he did was he called Scaramucci over, and they were talking about something. He was like, "Oh, how are you gonna?" He's like, "I can." He's like, "Watch this." They were talking about the news agencies covering everything he does. He's like, watch this. And he tweets out this nothingness, literally nothing. He said before, like within seconds, the streamer across the CNN was like, president tweets out hashtag Covfefe. What does this mean? Yeah, blah, blah, right. You know what I mean? And he said at that moment, he realized how he didn't need any. He didn't need. Media anymore.
Yeah, the traditional sources of news. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
gone. He didn't need it anymore.
Hmm.
And it wasn't going to be filtered.
If the Mooch is not lying on that, that's interesting.
I have about that character.
I just have a feeling like, you know,
he could have made
Trump,
the whole
thing up. Trump rolled over on his phone or something. You know, that's he's a really smart guy. Mooch.
Oh yeah,
and
definitely.
And I don't agree with anything he thinks, but there's something about. God, the left could really use a couple of guys like that. They just keep getting canned. Elliot Spitzer.
Anthony Weiner.
These two guys. Yeah. These two guys that were like the left's bad boys.
Yeah.
Now,
cool guys.
Well, I mean, they were literally, you know, taking pictures of their wieners and showing it to people.
Now, Weiner's a little, like, it makes sense he's gone. Spitzer.
What happened to Spitzer? I don't remember.
Guess what? He bust bankers. He did a lot for New York. And he banged a stripper or something like that.
Gotcha.
So
I remember now. Yes.
So,
but that's cool nowadays.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Trump
considering
Trump got kudos when they found out they paid a stripper to keep quiet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, my man. That's the kind of rich I want to be.
Exactly.
Man. Yeah. Bring Spitzer back. I wouldn't mind seeing him back in the in the eye.
Yeah. Democrats, man, they're like the new boring. You know.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
The GOP's got some hot shot guys. You got Dan Crenshaw. I know I'm always talking about Dan Crenshaw, but the guy looks like Snake. He looks like Snake from Solid from Metal Gear. You know, you don't look like somebody you want to tangle with. He's just cool looking dude.
Yeah, they're commenters like Ben Shapiro and whatnot.
Yeah,
You know, I do not like the man, but he's likable.
I really wish there was a true independent where you could actually, I don't know, it's somebody that represented the true middle versus the extreme left and right. It didn't have to be so extreme. I wish the Democrats didn't have to be so Democrat, like always hating on the Republicans. The Republicans didn't always have to be hating on the Democrats all the time.
I feel like if Trump was really true to himself, he would represent the true middle.
He honestly just likes you if you have nice things to say about him. The joke was at the beginning of his presidency is the real person who's president was the guy who talked to Trump 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
The man or woman who talked to him.
Yeah.
Famous examples, he went to Beijing to talk to the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, and he was talking all tough about how China is a currency manipulator, devalues its currency to make sure that it can flood the market with cheap imports. He goes into a meeting, and 10 minutes later, he comes out. He's like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. I was wrong. China is not a currency manipulator. They treat the global market very fairly. They don't, okay? Like, I'm kind of like a pro-China kind of guy. That comes across at times, but I will totally give them flack for their currency manipulation.
Right.
But Xi Jinping gets in a meeting with him, says a few nice things to him, and Trump comes out saying he's the best guy ever.
Yeah, he said the same thing about Kim Jong-un.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un, Il-un, whatever.
Yeah, so there's been three leaders of North Korea.
Me and Jay are coming off bad.
We have
right
no
now.
Clue. I just remember names. Yeah. I don't know which was who when.
Yeah, so there was three leaders. There was the grandfather, Kim Song something.
Okay.
And then Kim Jong-il was the son, and then Kim Jong-un
is the most recent.
Oh, okay. Grandson of the leader. Of the original. So
Right.
Kim Jong-un, or Il, was the one that really got into the limelight with Obama. Is that right? And then died, and then Un just took it over.
Right.
Well, Il was kind of a bumbler, right? Was that Song?
I think it was his father, because Il was a tyrant. He was a hateful, evil man.
But he was, so Song was much of the, like a Mao style, Stalinist style Communist Party leader, very as far as I know, very by the books, straight laced kind of guy. Now his son, who growing up with all the privilege, he was notorious for his joy brigades, where he would have it's like 500 North Korean women, sometimes girls, walk in front of him naked. Mm. That was one of his joy parades and stuff. He was famous. He loved Saturday morning cartoons on Nickelodeon.
Right, so he's the one I'm thinking of. Like, I just have an image of him pudgy dancing
around.
Very,
like, fly. Yeah, very pudgy. Yeah. That's and then somehow it was even worse with his son.
Right. Which does look just like him, I think. Doesn't Un look just like Eel?
Yeah, they're pretty similar.
He's racist.
Short,
yeah.
pudgy-looking guy.
It's kind of like Asian version of the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yes, yeah. Yes, okay.
Okay, so you have Kim Jong-un, yeah. Current leader. His father was Kim Jong-il. And then Kim Il-sung was the grandfather, the founder of North Korea.
So Song was the traditionalist communist guy.
Yes.
Il was a little bit of a weirdo.
A lot of a weirdo.
Was he still like Iron Fist?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. And then Un was Iron Fist and still kind of weird. But
very weird.
Less
weird. First one was Reagan-esque. Then we got Trump and Trump's son.
Well, the weirdest one of them all probably was Kim Jong-nam. Probably the weirdest one of the bunch. That's Kim Jong-un's brother. So he was honestly technically in line to replace.
This is the
I
guy
do remember
I'm thinking
that.
Of. Go
yes.
ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
So he was technically in the line of succession being the eldest brother, but he was caught back sometime in the 2000s trying to sneak into Disneyland in Tokyo, and he was caught traveling on a fake passport. I think it was like a Peruvian passport. So Japanese custom official looks at the guy's passport, looks up the guy, and he's like, you're Korean, not Peruvian. And so they arrest him, and it was a huge disgrace for North Korea. They sent him back, and then it was just a few years ago, Nam was in, where was it? It was Malaysia. It was at, Kuala Lumpur Airport in Malaysia. He was at Kuala Lumpur International Airport. A girl walks up to him and throws something in his face, and she runs away laughing. And she was like an Indonesian girl. Well, he dies very much soon after. Like he starts to die right there. Like and the medical, and before they can do anything, he's dead. And they instantly check the cameras. They arrest this girl from Indonesia, and she's like, I this was all part of a TV prank. She was like, these folks came up to me and they said, throw this in front of this guy's face. We're going to catch it all on camera. It's going to be hilarious.
Like
we're like
some
this
sort of dust or poison.
Yeah,
or
some liquid. Yeah, a poisonous liquid.
I don't know, slime. And
right. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And they told it was like a punk style.
Yeah, yeah.
Show. Wow. Live prank show.
Asian Ashton Kutcher. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. So she runs up, throws it in his face, and he dies. From it, and of course she's like the her arrest photos, and you can tell she's obviously crying. She's just a sweet looking, innocent looking young woman.
Wow.
You know, and
oh my god,
they held her in custody for quite a while until they could determine, oh, it was actually North Korean secret agents who met up with her, fed her this lie that it was this prank, and had her run up and throw this vial of poison in the face of Kim Jong
North
Kim
Korean
Jong-nam.
Secret agents.
Yeah. When your leader. That's like the first thing you have to do, right, is kill your brother. And kill,
right,
your,
yes.
Kill anybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That was his brother. Sure.
Dang.
Because he was technically in the line of succession.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
But, Kim Jong-un, a bad, bad dude.
Yeah, okay.
It was one high party official. I think it was, somebody who would technically be in line of succession if something was to happen to the Jong family or the Kim family. So he was executed for whatever crime he was falsely accused, just whatever they made up. And so supposedly the rumor is, and as far as I know, it's not verified, but they put him at the end of a field and they blasted him with an anti-aircraft gun.
Oh, crap.
Ooh.
Which is against the Geneva Conventions. Not like North Korea really cares about that, but that's just the type of regime you're dealing with over
right.
there, you know.
And Trump went over there and said he was a very nice guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, bring it all back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he was like, you know what, Trump? Here's some donuts. I like you. And Trump was like, I like you too, man.
Yeah.
He was best friends with him. The pictures of them walking, and Trump comes back like popping the collar. Like, I was the first president ever to be able to, or I, you know, Obama couldn't do it. I got it done. Some peace.
Right.
You know? Ain't no peace.
Man.
Like,
man, Dennis Rodman did it, bro.
Yeah. If Trump's hair was wool, it'd be pulled over his eyes.
So it was a VX nerve agent that was used to kill Kim Jong-un's brother at the Kuala Lumpur International Airport. And the woman was not Indonesian. She worked in Indonesia. She was from Vietnam. So excuse me for that.
Yeah. The power of podcasts. Stop fat. Check.
That's right. We have to throw that in there because I can't just re-say it, right?
Yeah. You could just place that segment of him actually saying the right thing in the right, and he don't have to re-say it.
She was a woman from Indonesia.
Yeah.
No, Vietnam.
Indonesia.
It was a nerve agent.
But since we're talking about deplorable nations.
Yeah, communism.
Yeah, and communism. Maybe talk about Cuba, because Cuba, again, in the news, because the State Department has reinstated it as a state sponsor of terrorism. Big news there. We've got people storming the Capitol, but that's what our national security leaders and very high-level members of Congress also want to focus on, is Cuba, a country where, because of international sanctions and economic embargoes, it's stuck in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Like, literally every driveway.
But it's so cool.
Yeah, well, they're
the cool old cars. And
Havana, like the Las Vegas of Latin America,
right?
You know? But, every driveway has got, like, a 57 Chevy Bel Air in it, if you're lucky. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like an 83 Volga or a Trabant, which I did want to talk about the Trabant. For a second,
let's go over the Trabant.
Absolutely, because this is again one of the cars you're going to see very common. Now a lot of times it broke down on the streets of Cuba, but the Trabant. So this is a for those who may not be aware, it's the worst car ever made, critically acclaimed.
Is that the three wheeled car?
No.
That was the Ford Pinto. No, I'm just kidding.
That's some kind of weird British three wheeled vehicle. But it's always on Mr. Bean, right?
Yeah. What am I, why do I know the Trabant? Go ahead.
Okay, well, the Trabant, critically acclaimed, worst car ever. It's an East German vehicle. It belches smoke like an Iraqi oil fire. It actually has a two-stroke motor in it, so it takes an oil gas mixture like a weed eater or a chainsaw. It's like 0 to 60 in like 15 minutes. The amount of pollution that this thing emits is
depending on how much weight is in the vehicle.
Absolutely. This is a car. It's made from Duraplast and like recycled wool. It had no turn signals, no seat belts, no tachometer, no fuel gauge. So that's the Trabant. Next time we'll talk about the other famous East German vehicle, the Wartburg.
Did you say no fuel gauge?
No fuel gauge. Yeah.
So you just gotta tap
how
it.
Far you
Yeah, absolutely.
Doom, doom, doom.
Okay. It had no trunk liner in it either, so I'm sure
nice
you could
and
just
metal.
Once it didn't smell like gasoline in the vehicle anymore, you knew it was time to put more.
Okay,
in it,
there you
so.
Go.
But yeah, no, you actually had to. So you'd have to mix. You'd have to pre-mix the gasoline with oil before you could put it in the tank, too.
I imagine though, a lot of those engines went very quickly because nobody pre-mixes properly.
Oh no, yeah,
when it's 1/16 for your chainsaw, tell me you're not getting 1/17.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
And tell when you're getting paid with vodka, you know, you don't actually make money. You just make vodka.
Exactly. 1/36th. What was it? You know.
I don't know. I'm ashamed that I don't know the history with Cuba, but was there a point in which they had to pick a side? Communism or
so
they picked wrong.
They picked wrong.
They
went against us. Well, they went with Russia, didn't they?
So until
back then?
The Cuban Revolution occurred between 53 and 59. Before up until 59, the country was ruled by Fulgencio Batista, who was a capitalist, authoritarian, very bad guy. Held a lot of contempt for the Cuban people. He just loved power. But he was not a communist, so as far as Americans went, he was great. That was American policy during the Cold War. Is like, okay, you're like a bloodthirsty, brutal dictator who kills your people and sells drugs and this and that. Yeah. Well, are you a communist? No. All right. You're fine. Here's money. Here's arms. Yeah, absolutely. So ever since the revolution with Fidel Castro, with the help of Che Guevara, some famous names, and then Fidel's brother Raul, they took over Cuba. You know, a few thousand people died. It was a pretty bloody revolution.
A real revolution.
Yeah.
Not somebody getting pepper spray.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was a coup. Absolutely. Yeah. But ever since then, we've had this combative stance with Cuba. I mean, it's such a Cold War relic, just like the politicians in the United States who carry on this policy. I just want to say, it shouldn't really be a surprise that we still have this stance against Cuba, because the average age of a U.S. senator is like 62 years old. A House representative is not that far back. So your average senator grew up seeing the Soviets invade Afghanistan. They watched Red Dawn in theater.
They hid
under desks during training to survive a nuclear attack.
Nuclear fallout, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And during the Cold War, I guess the average age was still probably around 60, so they were worried about the Jerrys.
Yeah,
so.
Right. The Japanese might come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Mussolini, maybe he's still running around somewhere.
American politics is always running 40 years behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is old grudges.
The 2060 is going to suck, guys. But these are folks who like look back with nostalgia at like the Cuban Missile Crisis. Yeah. And like the Angola Civil War.
See, that was real governing right there.
Yeah, right. In fairness, yes, Cuba has done some bad things since it's been communist, obviously. It continues to harbor Colombian rebels, quote, what Colombia calls terrorists, what they call themselves freedom fighters, that whole thing. It's refused to extradite foreign criminals. There's actually an American woman hiding out in Cuba right now who shot and killed a state trooper decades ago.
Assata Shakur?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are legitimate...
It's Tupac's mom, I think. Not drunk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dang.
Wow. A mom or aunt.
Yeah, Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah,
I don't remember the whole story.
So there's legitimate reasons to be suspicious of Cuba, no doubt, and not just from a historical lens, you know, but really these days it's such a knee-jerk Cold War thinking that keeps the situation like it is, and the fact that the GOP really relies heavily on the Cuban-American vote, which these are folks, especially the older ones, remember the Batista regime with a lot of fondness, even though he was a terrible dictator during his time.
Right. I was just going to say, we actually have a Floridian who works with several everyday, quote-unquote, Cubans there in Florida, who's chimed in on Twitch right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So shout out to Beto.
And know exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
There. But this ridiculous situation with Cuba continues thanks to this demented thinking in D.C. and the GOP's addiction to the Cubano vote. Obama tried a soft opening with Cuba, but then when Trump came in, he reversed it. A lot of folks in the GOP and the Cuban-American community really cheered that. They want this Cold War to continue with Cuba. Soviet Union's gone. North Korea is just a pathetic little... Yes, yeah. It is like the last relic, you know?
Yeah.
Even though Cuba, like when it comes to education, healthcare, like has some of the highest standards, but the highest in Latin America and some of the highest in the world.
I just want to get a Cuban cigar before they shut it back down. Yeah. That's all I wanted.
Absolutely.
There's really no reason to hang on to this, right?
No.
I mean, when Obama got rid of the embargo, that was in the last few months of his presidency.
Right, yeah.
And or tried to, I guess. I didn't. This is how freaking out of touch I am.
I don't even know. Because there was a while that Cuban cigars were legal.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And you could even travel.
You could travel.
Right.
Yeah. And there's been such famous incidences where this embargo has limited significant things. You know, Ernest Hemingway has a house in Havana. And it was like falling apart. And back in the 2000s when Bush Jr. was president, the Cuban Historical Society was like, was talking to members of American Historical Society, and they were like, look, we don't have the resources, the knowledge to restore this house. Can you send a team from America to come down here? And because of the embargo, the Bush administration was like, nope, can't. Just let the thing go to hell. But Cuba, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, is it not smart to just do business with a country that you can do business with?
Right.
I mean, Cuba's not lopping heads.
No.
Or anything right now. So
this is the pure definition of insanity. As we've been the same thing over and over for like 70 years now, expecting something different to happen in Cuba. Look, we want to change the country. We need to engage with them.
Yeah.
Like, you know who does? Canada.
Right.
Huge number one tourist spot for Canada is Cuba. Now
I almost went, or not almost went. I was invited to go until I was like, I can't. Mm. I cannot go. I'm American living in Canada. I'm not a Canadian citizen.
That's right.
I literally cannot even go.
Yep.
So
really?
Friends of
mine. You'd be
mine,
breaking federal law.
Yeah, wow. By just going. That's what one of the things, like when Obama was coming out, you know, because Obama did so many things wrong. And then in those last few minutes of his presidency, months and minutes in a presidential term,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
It was just doing certain things like, okay, get this done. Mm. Get this
done. Try to make some things right.
Get a couple of things right. Change something,
yeah.
you know, and that was one of the things like, okay, like
Is it going to affect every average American eating a cheeseburger? No, but, you know, Cuba's open now. That's a change. And I was like, let's get more crap like that done.
Like our American soft power, or like our cultural and our economic ties, not everything but our military has done more to kind of change this world than our military really has, at least since World War II. And, you know, look, Cuba's number one trading partner, Canada. And nobody's suffering there. It's a great relationship. And my idea is that if at the end of the day, Cuba poses no threat to the United States. And if honestly, if you're a person who's kept up at night thinking about what Cuba could possibly do to us, you honestly don't think very much of the United States.
Right. Yeah.
If you're that worried about a country that spends like 0.02% of its military spending is like 0.02 of what ours is. Yeah. So
people still got rolling with 80s AKs and stuff. That's what they're rolling with.
Let's bring Cuba back.
I'm with you.
Cuban electricians in Florida support Trump by large, and they say mainly because they fear communism and socialism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they claim, they're like, oh, you vote for Bernie Sanders, this will be the next Venezuela.
Right.
That's BS.
Which is impossible to happen here.
Yeah, he says his response is always, you're lucky you're Cuban and not Venezuelan, where your visa will be revoked and your country turns over Venezuelans back to the regime.
Well, so, socialism is different than socialism as a full-on. That's not going to work. Mm. Like when it's just a full-on government, it needs to be capitalism's lap band. There's just certain things that capitalism, that's the way our country's built, a free trade, free market, capitalism.
Right. Private enterprise, private sector is king.
Right. Yeah, but you know what shouldn't be? Like prison systems and, healthcare.
Our military.
Yeah, education. Like
shouldn't
that.
Be privatized or shouldn't be what do you mean?
Shouldn't be privatized.
Should not be.
No.
Do you believe or do you know of whether prisoners are treated more humanely? I don't care if they get the best of food. I'm just mean more humanely. Privately owned prisons or publicly owned prisons?
Publicly, because then it's just the money's going to be allocated right. I mean, the money's not allocated right when it's privatized. They could give a crap. It's not even.
Right.
And you know what? I could give a crap for a lot of people in there. But it's also really just bad. Like, just think, like, there's something inherently in me that thinks it shouldn't be run privately.
Yeah. And one of the something that I think everybody could get behind that's against privatization of prisons is that it's been documented a lot of private prisons. What they'll do to cut down on the number of security guards that they need is they drug up the inmates. Yeah. And honestly, a penitentiary is you're there to serve a penance. And if you're just sitting there drugged, you're whacked out of your mind all day long for every day of your sentence. What kind of penance are you serving?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're privately owned, you have much less that you have to report publicly.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Less accountability.
Exactly. You can get away with a lot more bad
things.
And it's
the lowest bidder, you know.
Right. And just think of it. You're running a prison like a business. So cost-cutting measures and all that is all going to be at like a human's life.
And
you know,
and
guess what? You know, we falsely imprison a lot of people.
Sure.
So we could be talking about somebody could be listening over in Indiana or something, and their brother was in prison for something he didn't do, and now he's under the scrutiny of a privatized prison system. Same with healthcare, though. There's just certain things that shouldn't be privatized, and that's where socialism can step in. It can just be a little, just to make sure that capitalism doesn't eat everything. Because capitalism, man, is the blob.
Yeah.
Straight
up. It's like libertarianism. I'm sorry, that just doesn't work.
Right.
You know, the cliche is, oh, communism is great until you introduce people. So is libertarianism.
Right.
You know, like people muddle things up.
Right. And kind of so is like just regular democracy.
Yeah,
and it's everything.
Right.
So just little bits here and there. I think, as American, I believe in capitalism, free trade, all that stuff. But maybe just a drop of socialism can help out. And guess what? You're mad at that your check is $600 and not $2,000. We're not Venezuela, you idiots.
Yeah. True.
It can't happen. That can't happen here. It's impossible.
Mm, right.
It's impossible.
So because the media will report on it and it would be, you know, stamped down by the...
There's so many checks and balances here, right? I mean, it's not an overarching one dictatorship kind of like...
Right.
I'm definitely going out of what I actually know right
We're
now.
We're not that centralized of a nation. That the very fact that one of the big reasons why we maintain this combative stance with Cuba is because the Cuban-American vote is critical for the GOP to control Florida. Mm-hmm. So they simply tailor these policies against Cuba so they can keep Florida reliably Republican.
Right.
And it's worked.
And it's worked, absolutely. A country that's like that, where a million people, if even that, you know, this exile population can control such a American foreign policy, then I just don't see how we could ever have some huge takeover centralized government like that.
It helps with all the old white retirees there too, though.
Yeah.
For the voting Republican thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, they've got that. But then there's the Jewish vote.
Yeah.
They're going to go to
New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep. True. Good point.
So, you know, things could, I think we've seen in this last election how things can just switch like crazy.
It is weird.
Or swing.
Swing.
To use that word. You know?
Even with 16, I mean, I was one of them. Was like, Trump has no chance. Hillary's got this by a mile.
Yeah.
Just because Obama did so well for many people's a vision of, you know, what a Democrat does in the office.
Yeah. Right.
So they're just going to continue that. But I was wrong completely. Right. I underestimated the vote of the average person that just wanted something different in office.
Right. And the laziness of people in my generation specifically, I think. Like I've said it 100 times, if you could vote from your Xbox, Hillary Clinton would have been our president
Bernie
for
Sanders.
The past 40 or Bernie
That's
Sanders.
True,
That's true.
Hashtag,
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, hashtag get out and vote.
Yeah.
But you know that the 2016
rock the vote. Hashtag rock the vote. Do y'all remember that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. I feel like the
you
only
gotta
person
make it cool for millennials.
Yeah,
rock yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
Sorry.
Make a rap song out of voting, you know, and then you'll get the youth vote. Yeah. But I feel like the only person who predicted Trump's win in 2016 was Michael Moore. Yeah. He wrote a
True.
Really interesting article.
You're
he
right.
said, "This is why Trump's going to win."
Yeah, unequivocally.
Yes.
Like, this is why, and he's going to.
And the Republicans were like, can't be because it's Michael Moore, right?
Exactly. Right, right. Vote Hillary.
Exactly.
Yeah, then probably Trump was the most surprised.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's like, oh,
what?
Crap.
What? Yo, no. His, you're talking about his narcissism. He expected to win the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump getting elected is like me getting hired to the new job. After a few weeks, I was like, can somebody print out my job description for me? I'm really not.
That's hilarious and true. You know, technically, if we were awesome, great, above the level employees,
uh-huh.
you and I would get together on our own time.
Yeah.
And write a job description.
Yeah.
An entire, like, because your job is so expansive.
Yeah.
From one day to the next.
To think I'm not taking time to learn more is ridiculous, considering I'm like, oh, I got it.
Exactly.
Heard that women like a man in a uniform.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's why I still have my McDonald's one. You know, see what happens.
Throw out the McGrease pants.
You see that team leader?
That might mean something.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It doesn't, but it could.
Yeah.
To the right meth head.
Yeah. You know, like in the apocalypse times.
Like, whoa, what?
No. In the apocalypse times, you're gonna like. You know, in the games, you get to dress all funky, like, I'm going to wear a clown wig, or, like, wherever you think, you know, you're going to go with it,
right.
I would wear my McDonald's outfit.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
I wonder how much these titles get to people's heads that work, like, in fast food environments. Like, did you listen to me?
Yeah.
You're team leader.
I am team leader. Okay. I am Thursday night swing shift manager.
I just got promoted to colonel of McDonald's.
You mean the night manager just wanted to go make out with her boyfriend, so she gave you the key?
That's exactly right.
That's what that means.
You don't know how many swing shift managers I like bully. I'm smoking. I'm taking a smoke break.
swing shift manager. You flip the burgers.
Yeah, exactly.
There is burger flipping, right?
There is not burger flipping. No.
That's funny.
No, to get back into how the McDonald's process.
I remember you saying. I listened to the first round a couple times.
Oh man,
is it like a waffle maker that
it's
goes
like
on?
Spishes it?
Yeah, it goes on both sides and cooks it at the same time.
You pull out
a
bag.
A
it's perfect round pucks of meat.
Yeah.
Okay. You put it onto the griddle. There is a griddle that you think you would flip on.
Okay.
But a platen comes down and you hit.
There's a platen.
You hit a few different options. There's regular meat, there's quarter meat.
The Canadian McDonald's.
Exactly.
Operated by a badge bunny.
Yeah. Yeah. A platen.
You had to have a badge to operate it.
Yeah. The platen comes down and just cooks the shit out of them for 30 seconds. And then, you know, you're left with these indescribable pieces of food.
Yeah, and thank God it's cooking the shit out of them.
Yes.
That's what makes it edible.
Yeah. McDonald's, would you like your Big Mac medium rare?
No. Just cook it. How do you like your circus meat?
I fought for my country. I'm going into it. I don't even care.
You did?
I fought for my country.
Oh, yeah. Squib and squab squeeb.
Yeah, I squabbled with squib and squeeb, and that's what happened. No, it was not in a military fashion. It was not in an official fashion.
Okay.
Oh. I was being discriminated against a little weird American boy in Canada. That's right. Couple of Iraqi gentlemen. Were in my school.
Ex-Fedayeen. Had a fatwa out on you?
Yeah, I had a fatwa out on me with just one Iraqi family. Until the mother got heard of it. And she was serious. She was like, you beat up a white kid? What the hell is wrong with you?
They're going to kick us out of here.
Yeah. Picked him up by his ear and tossed him into his room.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, so... It all started with, it was right around, I'm not even joking, it was like 2002, 2003. It was right around 9/11, Bush, wars, all this stuff. And it was like, he hated me because I was American. I was one of two American kids in the school. He hated me.
Dang.
Yeah. And,
is that because of American tensions in any situation? I mean, I can understand why.
Coincidence.
I couldn't understand.
I can understand why people of today hate Americans. Does that make sense?
Well, sure. But I
this
mean,
is
it was
Canada.
Like, yeah,
right,
and we were
right.
young. We were young. I remember. I watched 9/11 happen, and I was like, "I was home for lunch. Just wanted to watch what we usually watch."
Oh,
does that make? And
no,
this, that sounds terrible. And
no, you're right though.
I was too young.
Why can you not tell the truth about how you felt in the moment without being berated by freaking people on Twitter that want to cancel you?
Right.
I'm sorry,
I was woke. I wasn't woke when woke wasn't a thing.
Exactly.
Okay, so. I was not
like
woke.
Biden then, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
I
was eating a hot. I was eating a bologna sandwich watching 9/11. Okay, that's how young I was.
Right.
Just for
one of
just
the 1500 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches you had before you graduated high school.
Right. Because I was eight, so that's old enough to comprehend, but it's also old enough to not really know the weight.
Yeah.
Of what's,
oh yeah.
So anyway, like you know, that's you know when I was. Yeah, that's how it happened, dude. I was in, I guess that would have been second or third grade when I was pulled out of class.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. And
like that morning?
That morning.
That all went down?
That 9/11, on 9/11, I was pulled out of class, and the teacher was like, there's something going on in your homeland.
Oh.
You need to go home.
In your homeland.
That we've called
you need
your
to go
mom.
Home.
Yeah, we've called your house,
I
and
picture
you need to go home.
President Bush get it because you remember the images of President Bush getting that message.
Yeah,
where
his face was just
oh man.
While he's reading to
that's
the kids.
That's iconic. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So I can only imagine
he caught so much flack for that
he
too. And it's like, what do you do? Just jump up and scare all the kids and run out of there?
Yeah.
You know, I think he did the manliest thing you could have. You finish that story
and you get
to business.
Right.
You know,
like he was told it, and then his little throat swallow.
Yeah.
Was echoed and heard across
absolutely.
The entire world. Just
absolutely.
That little, like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
It's like, because he was told frog and America's toad. Under attack.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
were the words he was yeah. told.
Like his sigh or whatever, like all that. Like, it's just, and he got right back into what's going to yeah. make these kids happy in this.
Because yeah. they're all like, we got to get you out of here, put you in a bunker or something. He's like, no, let me finish right, the story yeah. with the kids, okay?
Exactly. If Trump was rated as like America's under attack, he's like, by my people or is it by other people?
Yes. Get me out of here. Get me out.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't want to be under attack by my people.
I don't want to be under attack at all.
Do we need to stop by and get Melania? No, leave her. I don't care.
Yeah. She'll be fine.
I'll get another one. Sorry.
Click. You pick it. They click yeah, it. You'll love her.
I'll take that. No.
Okay, so.
EastEuropeanWomen.com.
Yeah, exactly. Buy now. It's yeah.
Billionaires, welcome.
Free shipping on orders over.
Okay. Only now. Buy one, get two free.
Yeah. Send your plane.
Customize them.
To next day shipping with your own private jet.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So, you know what? I don't even want to tell the story.
Okay.
We've gone through enough of it. That's all funny. Or do I need to tell it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll get through it. So
Mahanala and Jahanala Gahanala?
Yeah, exactly. Bahanala? So sorry. Tensions. America, Iraqi kid. We were at tensions. We were at odds. There was words exchanged. There was this and that. I was walking home one day and he knew the path I took, and him and his lackey Ryan decided to jump me on the way to the house. This kid's name was Rahanala.
His lackey Ryan, just a buddy of his?
Just a buddy.
Okay.
And his name was Rahanala.
That's an interesting name.
Rahanala?
Yeah.
Yeah, to be paired up with Ryan. Yeah,
I know, right?
Kind of a weird combo. Because Ryan was just a little Canadian kid, white little white boy.
Yeah.
So, as I was a little white American kid.
Yeah.
I'm walking home. We engage in the fight. Okay, so I'm not even going to go over the fight. It was a fifth grade fight, so there's not
right,
really,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I mean,
you know, wrestling,
in,
pushing around. And
in your mind, you whooped him up or he whooped you up?
No.
He kind of took you out?
I think it was a little bit even.
Okay.
Like, fine, I'll get into just one point.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I was fighting Rahanala. Me and Rahanala were pretty even, I think. Ryan didn't want, he was really scared, and he at one point was going to throw Rahanala a branch that he had picked up on the ground. He said, Rahanala, take this. And I caught it, and I broke it over Ryan's back. I remember that. And then
nice.
Rahanala had, like, tackled me.
Oh, of course.
And, like, you know, rolling
Ryan.
Around. Yeah. So it ended up in just like, well, whatever, fine. You know, whatever that middle school fighting is.
Well, yeah.
A little while later, you know, word spreads, and Rahanala's brother pulled the fatwa out on me. He was looking for me for days, I'm sure.
Rahanala's brother, what was his name?
Brahanala.
So you got Ruh
you
and
got
Bruh.
You got Ruh and Bruh.
Yeah. Second level boss.
Now, yes. Didn't you tell me Ruh and one of the two you actually got along with, right? Or
way later, I met Rahanala at a party. Okay. And for a second, I was like, ooh, and he was like, what's up? And we squashed it like
oh,
then and
perfect,
there.
Perfect.
It's cool, Rahanala, okay, bro. I know you're listening.
No. What's up, Rah?
What's
We're
up, Rahanala?
We're going to look you up on Facebook, dog.
Yeah. And you know what, Rahanala? Whatever, bro. We got through that, too. He was in 11th grade.
Ooh.
I was in 5th.
Dang.
And he rolled up on me when I was skating with a friend of mine. And he just launched right in. He grabbed my Adam's apple. Not my throat.
Right.
He grabbed my Adam's apple and yanked me in like that and just started pummeling me, like beating me. It was, I think, the first time I like really was punched in the face repeatedly over and over again. And I was like, I was getting messed up straight up. And I was like holding on to his shirt, like getting punched in and out of his shirt. So I was ripping his shirt. Just the inertia of my head as he was striking it was now ripping his shirt is like the butterfly effect. He eventually just beat me down to a pulp, took my skateboard, threw it over the fence, robbed me, took my $10.
Oh, man.
And rolled off.
He was a junior. Where was your big brother in this moment to protect
just you? Off in America. The same reason I'm getting beat up.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I stayed here.
Yeah.
I stayed for the good fight.
Yeah.
There was a couple
I don't know
of
what they got going on down there.
Yeah.
You can't blame me for it.
That's funny.
So it all ended.
I love they pulled you out of class, though.
For 9/11?
Yeah. I mean, right. I guess that's sensitive, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. So I was, it happened,
high.
Yeah, so
9/11
happened when I was in elementary. This whole Rahanala thing happened when I was in middle school.
Middle school, high school. Middle school and junior high is similar, and yet different.
I'm wrong. It happened in both. I think 9/11 happened in when I was in third grade. This whole fight thing happened when I was in fifth grade.
Gotcha.
And then that summer, I moved to a different section of the city, and not because of that, you know, and went to a different middle school or junior high school, whatever you call it. The one thing that I do remember, not from that, but from that whole fight business,
yeah,
just the end of the story, is I come home and my mother sees my neck bleeding. You know, and it's like, what happened? My face all pummeled in.
Right.
Of course, I'm sure I was crying. What happened? You know? And I told her.
Oh, well.
That's the worst part. I told her. No, I ratted. And then she called the police. She called the cops, and they came over. They went over to, you know, Rahanala's house and was like, you know, hey, ooh, I hear you beat up that weird little American kid.
Ah.
You know, can we just have his $10 back?
That's
and yeah, they got me my $10 back. And word has it that Rahanala faced the beating of his life from his mother.
Yeah.
Not like she actually abused
good.
Him. Just like, you know,
he got
cracked down on.
He got a whooping.
And that's why I said earlier, like, you beat up a white kid?
Yeah.
Do you realize, like, I got done? Us here?
Do you know what you've done?
You want to go back to there?
Right?
You don't beat up white kids.
Yeah. That, from America.
Not, yeah.
Even worse. Do you realize what you've done? Yeah. The president will call.
No. It's like a hate crime.
Yeah, exactly.
If I was a more of a snowflake, I would have said that.
Yeah. No, if you beat me up because I'm white, I get it.
Probably deserve it.
At this point, if I don't deserve it when you were beating me up, I deserved it at some point in my life.
I get it. I'm evil. About does it for this week's episode. Way too many things to talk about and too little time this week. Gonna wrap this up nice and short. So of course, thanks to everyone at thewashitapodcast.com for getting this live on all your favorite podcast platforms. All music and productions credits myself, and of course a big thanks to my co-hosts Jay Lindley and Patrick Massey for making this whole thing possible. Otherwise, I would just be an insane person rambling into a mic, which should be reserved for padded rooms and ham radios. I'm Tyler Massey. We'll see y'all next week.